Hello and welcome to the Fleischmann Hillard Europe podcast. Today I'll be having a chat with Barbara and Florin from the European Parliament's web team. As many people in Brussels and beyond know, their team has done exceptionally well at reaching out and engaging across Europe using a variety of social media channels. They're close to reaching 100,000 fans on Facebook and have one of the most widely read and quoted blogs in the Euroblogosphere. But over to you both. Maybe first as a starting point, could you perhaps in a few sentences summarise your approach to social media and explain why you do it?
Wow, the approach,
I think it started before the elections when we just wanted to go where people are. It was as easy as that because we already have some tools on the internet with a website with like content, and we wanted to try to reach new people, and the idea was, I think, not so much to produce some new contents because there are plenty of content.
And we couldn't ignore this social media environment today. We
wanted to use these new tools to spread the word.
Yeah.
So we started using Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, Flickr, YouTube, many things. Basically, we continue using all of them today. Some of them multilingual, but most of them just in English, I would say.
I think the three most important social platforms for us now are Facebook, Twitter, and Flickr. Flickr is just to Flickr as well. To give some pictures for bloggers and so on to put them free there. And I mean, in terms of, I think, quality of interaction is quite good. And we have also two different aims, I think, between Facebook and Twitter, two different audiences.
Yes,
do you maybe want to talk? Because as far as I gather, one of you does Facebook and the other specializes in Twitter. Do you want to tell us a bit about your roles and how you manage the channels?
Well, in fact, both of us do both things. The fact is that I am a coordinator for Twitter and Florent is a coordinator for Facebook. So, well, for Twitter, it is true that there are, I would say, big differences between countries because we tweet in 22 languages. And while in English it's very popular media, there are thousands of followers into the English language. For some other languages, it's more difficult to gather followers because it's still growing on those countries. But, well, we tweet basically to announce web streamings, what's going on in the parliament, or to announce that we have published something new. Maybe, people get to know about it faster through Twitter. It's a very fast way of communicating what we do.
Whereas, I mean, for Facebook, we work mainly in English. We have some different Facebook accounts, I mean, from the information offices in different countries. But the aim is to have a central platform to have people from all over Europe discussing together. And, I mean, they can also discuss in other languages than English, but it's mainly English, of course. And, yes, we are very, like, citizen-oriented. I think Twitter is also for professionals to let journalists know about what's going on. And Facebook, it's much more to provide a space for debate, forum of debate. Mm-hmm. And we just try to pick the interesting topics to put them in a, let's say, sometimes sexy way, funny way, or easy way, and just ask people, just react, tell us. And it works quite well. And at the time where I speak now, we have 99,500 something people following it. So we should reach the 100,000 mark today. We
on Twitter, really? All of us together, we are around 15,000, which is not bad for Twitter.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And how do you... I mean, obviously, the perennial issue with Europe is always the languages. And you say that, you know, sometimes you try local languages, sometimes English. But, you know, fostering these cross-border, especially on Facebook, I guess, these cross-border conversations, how do you foster them? Do you find that you're succeeding in getting people across borders to engage?
Yes, I think so. I mean, when a lot of people are telling us, you know, it's just a Brussels bubble that is here on Facebook and we can look at the stats. And we are a lot of people from Italy first, and then I think it's Germany, Greece, and Bulgaria is very good as well. And these are people there. I mean, there are people there working also in this European sphere. But as we can know, also with comments, with what people ask, what they say, and so on, it's really like the citizens. And it's really what we try to have, not to focus too much on people specialized in this. And that's why we try really to have an editorial work and kind of copywriting work in what we do to make it easy, sexy, and for everyone.
But do you find that you have a certain demographic that's more represented than others? So you said you have a few people from different countries, but do you find it's you know, politically active people who are students between the age of 20, 25, or do you find that it's quite a big spread of people?
Well, I think the profiles, as Florent said before, are quite different on both social platforms. On Twitter, I cannot define an age profile or a professional profile. Of course, there are many journalists and also media following us, but there are also citizens who are just Twittering and they are interested in getting the latest news. Some of them may be specialized on a specific issue and they only retweet us when we tweet something on that issue. But I would say that the public on Twitter is very diverse.
More or less on Facebook, we have quite young people between, most of them like between 25 and 34, and we also have like between 18 and 25, a bit older as well. We have people from all over Europe from different ages, so I think it's very diverse as well. Yeah, and we have politically active people, of course. We also have people coming every day, you know, to comment and just as a citizens, as citizens, and also people that don't know anything about Europe. I would say if we look at the content, at the questions, at the comments, and we have people answering, and you know. We do not really engage. I mean, we engage with people, but just they also discuss together, and it's the main aim. We try not to intervene too much.
It's more for animating the debate.
It, you're trying to foster a conversation, but you're not trying to lead it yourself.
Yeah, of course.
A question. I mean, obviously, at the European Parliament, you've got the MEPs themselves. A lot of whom do have their own web presence. But obviously, you know, they're despite being part of the same institution, their objectives are obviously different from yours. How does that work? Does your web presence act in parallel to theirs, or do you harness their content in any way, or you know, is there?
Well, that's the aim, to create a community in which, of course, MEPs would have to be involved. Well, we always say that we are not MEPs, but somehow we need them because, well, we work for a political institution. On Facebook, for example, they organize very interesting Facebook chats.
Yes, with MEPs, and we'd like to go more and more in this direction to provide this forum for debate, because we have this 100,000 people there, and MEPs do not have this critical mass, and to ask them to come to our page, to engage with our fans, with the citizens, and we have, these Facebook chats quite regularly, where people can ask directly a politician, and the politician is there himself, herself, typing the answer.
On Twitter, for example, this weekend, I spent the weekend in Cordoba, Spanish city, debating with bloggers and people on Twitter. We had a very interesting session there, and some MEPs were also taking part of it. And, well, this was the first ever organized, at least in Spain. But, well, MEPs were one more of the people sitting around a table. And I think they are more and more aware of the potential that these social networks have also for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's probably a few of the early adopters who are now really reaping the rewards of being engaged. And the other people who are maybe a little bit more quiet are now saying, oh, wow, this stuff can really work in reaching people and engaging with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Question I also had, in the corporate world, when discussing social media programs, one problem we always run into is approvals, because I think traditionally, say, companies, organizations, when they've had to publish, you know, it's been publishing some, you know, a press release or something else, you know, not very frequently, and it's been checked by a million people. Social media is a lot more fluid than that. You know, you can't have a million approvals for everything that goes out because you're trying to have a conversation. Is that something you run into as well? Have you got a different structure almost now for publishing than you did before?
Well, I would say that somehow, we are fresh on social networking. The Facebook, that's why we have a coordination. The Facebook team know what they want and what they can, if I could speak about permission, what they want to do on Facebook. And I have an idea of the editorial line of what the Parliament is publishing or is willing to publish on Twitter. So we try to stick to that, and with the exception of some cases in which we may have doubts, in general we are quite free.
What we do. Of course, it is approved, but it's approved beforehand. So we ask, we say, you know, this week we're gonna publish that and that and that. Is it fine for you? And if there is a particular sensitive topic, we may ask our boss to approve the text as well. But generally speaking, it's just the idea is approved, and then we can go for it. so which is quite flexible. And for a big institution like the parliament, it's quite good to work like that. Yes.
Well, the advantage of Twitter is much faster to adapt to it. It's only 140 characters, and it's always quicker to react to whatever.
That's true. Last week, we hosted a panel discussion, and we had Ryan Heath, who's the social media manager for Neelie Kroes. He was saying that Neelie's blog gets more visitors than everything else that she publishes online combined. I know, obviously, the European Parliament website is huge, and you know, has, but do you have any other interesting comparisons, say, you know, between, you know, say, the press releases you issue and the social media engagement? Are there some sort of interesting parallels, comparisons, where you've said to yourself, wow, social media actually really works compared to Web 1?
I had a meeting last week with a kind of French social media specialist, and he told us, and it was true, that the graphs are crossing somehow, that, you know, we get less and less people on the website, or, I mean, as many people, and more coming via these new tools. I mean, I think we can also see it. I don't have any figures now to tell, but, I mean, just it's going, it's like that. We have more and more people coming to our content via this new social media, which means, I mean, our website will still be there. We will still need it, but it's just our basis, and then we try to bring people there from different tools, and that will be more and more the case.
I think that even if we are speaking for an institution, the fact that perceiving that there is a person behind that information makes it, I don't know if more attractive, but or more trustworthy. But yeah, I have the impression that people tend to be more interested in this kind of personal communication.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the fact that there's a person behind it, but it's also a sense that, you know, they can get involved, even if they choose not to. But the fact that they can offer a response or have more control of the medium is quite attractive as well, I think.
But I don't have any figures. I think our visits to the regular website are still there. I mean, it's not, but it's true that social websites are growing steadily. They don't stop. Mm-hmm. None of them.
So what's next?
Well, next on social networks. I think the aim is to create a real community, European community of, as I said before, why not MEPs, citizens, people interested in communication, journalists, having the European Parliament as a meeting point. That would be an objective.
Yeah, and there are no new social medias, I mean, so far that you can see, we should go there. I mean, there are some. We should think about it. It's also a question of resources. And for the time being, we try to professionalize it a bit more. Say, for Facebook, we'll have someone helping us to develop some specific applications, this kind of stuff. Because when you enter the world of social media at the very beginning, it's very resource efficient. You just go there, you open an account, and that's it. And then you just have to run it. But now I think we should develop some more things and see what's next exactly. I mean, that's a question. Mm-hmm. Go to different seminars to know, okay, if we want to be there, what people are, we should always keep in touch with,
On Twitter, the translation would be maybe humanizing Twitter a bit more, which doesn't mean personalizing, but letting the people to get in touch with the person who is there, willing to answer their questions if they have any, or willing to get in touch with them through Twitter itself.
Excellent. Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.